Merle Fielder said, it's a little pebble on a big beach. I'm not totally sure what that means. Maybe you know. I think it means it's not that big a problem or it's not that big a deal. But I'm here to tell you it's bigger than that. And that's going to be our study this morning. The book of Psalms chapter 43 and verse 3, he says, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. Okay? I want our sheriff to go to heaven. And I want the highway patrol who give me a ticket, I want him to go to heaven. And when we start thinking about it, we want everyone to go to heaven. That's the desire that we have. We look at a lot of people in the world. Maybe we don't know them very good, but we want them to go to heaven. I desperately want to go there. I think you do too. I think that's why you're here today. I think that's why we come here. I think that's why we discipline ourselves and live a Christian life. We want to go to heaven. Don't we? I want to ask you a question. What leads the lost here? I mean, why come here? There's a lot of other churches in town, aren't there? That offer different things than we do. Different events, different styles of worship, different thoughts. Why should people come here? I want to attempt with you today to refocus as a congregation, as an individual. I heard a gentleman, a brother in Christ, say one time about the lost. He said, we have a church sign and people know we're here. And if they want to come, they can come. Well, I thought that was a poor attitude. And sometimes our attitudes, if we're not careful, can change. Our attitude can degrade. Sometimes our attitudes improve. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in this house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our lives ought to be that light. Isn't that true? That as we live in this old dark world, our lives ought to be lights that shine, that lead other people to the Lord. I think that's true. I think it's not that hard in this world that we live in today to live an outstanding life. I don't think it's that hard to be good and honest people and moral people and follow the precepts and commandments that we find in Scripture. And I believe it's your lives that will lead people here. Your life will influence someone to say, I want to go there and I want to know more. I want to have what he has. I want to have what she has. I want to have that kind of life. Now I want to change gears just a little bit. In the book of Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, speaking of Jesus, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Why did he choose 12? I mean, there was at least 70, maybe closer to 100 at this time that were disciples and followers of Jesus. Why these 12? He could have chose more. He could have chose less. Why did he decide to choose these guys? Was this what he was saying? Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation. Was he saying you've won the lottery and you get to hang out with Jesus for 3 years? Was he saying, you 12 get to go to heaven? Or you 12 get to be my posse and my entourage as we travel? You lucky guys. Was that what he's saying? It was bigger than that, wasn't it? Bigger than that. In Matthew 4, verse 19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway, they left their nets and followed him. They had a responsibility. He chose 12, and they had duty. He chose 12, and they had responsibility. This wasn't going to be easy. There were things they were going to have to get up. Give up. There were places they were going to have to go. There were things that they were going to have to do. And I will tell you, if you want to follow Jesus today, you have a role, a responsibility. Not everyone's role is to be an elder, is it? Not everyone's role to be a deacon. Jim and I went and visited a lady last week who has autoimmune disease, and if you touch her skin, she gets a blister and a sore anywhere you touch her body. And she lays in a chair, in a bed. And we walked in. She said, please don't touch me. I'll tell you, that not much of a role. You know what she said? She said, I do a lot of praying. I pray for people all day. Embraced a role. Not maybe the most outstanding, not the most visible role, but she embraced what she could do. I was kind of impressed by that. In the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, I think this is a key scripture. If you want to take this home and remember it or memorize it, that'd be a wonderful thing. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What's he saying to you? I think he's saying, don't be selfish. Think about others. What others need. Don't get wrapped up in your own concerns and your own lives and your own family and this and that and the other. You'd be surprised at some of the statements I've heard about people that go to church and they look at church as a very selfish thing, if that makes any sense. They look at church as a place to go and be served and catered to. I want the songs led that I want. And I don't want the sermon too long. Jim had a fellow not too long ago tapped on his wristwatch during the service. You're preaching too long. I'm not happy. I want to go eat. We're not told to have that kind of attitude. We're told to look at everybody else and think of everybody else. That's what we're told to do and think about. To not be selfish. You know, it's hard, isn't it? We got work, clean the house. You got to buy your school clothes, you know. Get new tires, fix dinner, go to the ball game. We got to do that. Car needs an oil change. We need to mow the grass, go to the doctor, buy the groceries. Go to the birthday party, feed the cows, go do your haircut, do the taxes, work on a new sermon, go see grandma. We need to wash the car, relax, I need to pray, I need to sleep and help somebody. That's life, isn't it? Just snowballs. I don't have time to think about other people. Well, that's not the thing we're told, though. We're told along the way we need to think about other people and be thoughtful about what people around you need. Now here's the truth, okay? We got about 100 people attend this church. If 100 of us decide we're going to help Amy go to heaven, you got a pretty good shot. Pretty good person to start out. But if all 100 of us say we're going to help her because we want her to go to heaven, it's a pretty good shot. If we say that about general and we're going to focus on general and help general get to heaven, it's going to go pretty well. Or if we think about Preston in that way, or Adeline, or any one of us, if we work together and we help one another, we got a pretty good shot at going to heaven. That's what I want. I want to go to heaven. It's hard. Isn't it? It's a hard old life. And it's a difficult thing. And we need help. And we need to be thoughtful about what people around you need. And I believe that not only in your day-to-day life, you should think about what does somebody in my life need? How can I help them to go to heaven? We ought to think the same thing when we come here. What was the role of Jesus? You ever thought about what God came and said to Jesus? I'm going to need you to leave heaven and go down to earth and become a man and die. It doesn't sound like too good a gig. Oh, no, thank you. I'll just stay right here in heaven. But in the passage we read, I want to read a little further. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Let it be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're going to have to do some of the same things if we're going to have his mind. We're going to have to be humble and be a servant. What can I do to help you? Help you go to heaven. And if every one of us has that attitude, we all got a good shot at going to heaven. But if you have the attitude of me, 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 and that ain't what I want, and I don't like to do that, and I don't have time for you, it's going to be hard. Another passage very similar to the passage here in Philippians, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. What does it mean? We're not here to promote our own interest. You know, Jim and I don't travel around promoting Jimmy Hayes Ministries. We're here to be servants. In fact, your servants. And if we come here every day or every Sunday with the idea of I want to be your servant, what can I do to help you? If we live our lives and you go to work with the attitude, I want to be your servant, how can I help you? As a parent, I want to help my children. I want to be a servant to help you go to heaven with your family or with your loved ones or whatever the case may be, wherever you go. If you have this attitude of I want to be a servant and I want to help you to go to heaven, it's a wonderful thing and it will help. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a pretty simple passage, a simple command. We've read it hundreds and hundreds of times. Do we live it is the question. So I want to read a little further as we did a while ago. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We've got heaven within us. We've got the message of the gospel within us, and we can carry this message to anyone we come in contact with. And we can be a servant to that person and say, how can I help you go to heaven? You kids in high school and junior high, you can help your friends go to heaven. You can change their life. You employers, you can help your employees. You can change their life. You employees, you can help your boss and you can change your life. But you got to ask yourself, what is my role? What is my purpose and my role? Because you have a part. And the Lord said, be fishers of men. You're a disciple. I want you to be fishers of men. The apostle said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Britt says, teamwork makes the dream work. And I think it's true. We all work together. We're all servants together. It's going to be good. Romans 8 verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. When we work together, great things are going to happen. So I'm going to go over a few things now. I'm going to change the gears a little bit. I just want you to think about just a few things. You should greet everyone in a friendly way. People come to church. They're probably a little nervous if they've never been here. They've got a bunch of people they're going to meet, perhaps. It's a strange place. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, what they do. We should treat everyone in a friendly way. Somebody says, well, it's just common courtesy. I suppose that's true. I want you to know it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. The first impression visitors get of our church is when they walk in the door. You can't redo that. You can't retake that test. You know, most studies show that visitors will decide within just a few minutes, 5 to 7 minutes, whether or not they're going to return. Now you ask yourself, what do our visitors see, experience in 5 to 7 minutes? They're going to shake some hands, aren't they? Meet some people, get a few hugs, maybe hear the first part of a song, and they've decided whether or not they're coming back. How important is that? You ever been to a church who wasn't very friendly? I have. I went to a church I really don't think they wanted me there. You know what? I was one and done on that church. I've never been back. One and done. I didn't feel welcome. I didn't feel like they wanted me there. Hardly anyone said hi to me. Maybe I forgot my deodorant. I don't know what the deal was. I didn't think they wanted me there. I didn't go back. I don't know if they did or not. Our friendliness has a big role in that. Your friendliness may help someone go to heaven. That's the deal. And so we should all be friendly. We should say hello to our guests. We should hug their neck. That's important. You should worship God at every opportunity. I heard a person say, we usually just worship Sunday morning if we can make it. Well, I want to tell you something. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Do you know one sermon may make a difference in your husband or wife's or child's eternity? One sermon. I assume everyone here is kind of like me. There's a few things I struggle with that are sinful in nature. I struggle and I work at them and I try and I get frustrated. What if one sermon that I missed somewhere along the way would have changed that in my life? One sermon. One. What if you missed the one sermon who could help you go to heaven? That one sermon. That's a big deal. And so we ought to think about it in that way. One sermon might be something that makes a difference in my life. Not to mention that in Hebrews 10 verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The idea seems to be in the early church that I encourage you to be here. Come to church. Come to the assembly. Come with me and let's worship. Why? It's important for you to be here. You get strength from it. You get knowledge. You develop relationships and have fellowship with people that's going to help you along the way, because I want to go to heaven and I want you to go to heaven. And one of the best things that you can do to go to heaven is be here. To be together. To worship together. That's a big deal. You should sing with all your heart. Well, I don't sing very good. It's bigger than that, isn't it? God never said, sing if you sing well. In fact, he said, make a joyful noise. Rain on singing well, just sing. That's the idea. What does it say to our visitors when we should worship God singing with all our hearts? I'll tell you, it says something. You ever been to a church that didn't hardly sing? I have. I went to a church where the singing was terrible. Terrible. Okay? Terrible. And one of the visitors came in and said, wow, the singing was great. I thought, where have you been? This was awful. We make a statement to our visitors when we sing. The Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25, and it's talking about a person who's an unbeliever. And when they come in and hear us singing, he says, thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. God is in these people. Do people leave here and go, man, God is in those people? Or do people leave here and go, that wasn't too good? You all remember Benny Westmoreland. Love the guy. I remember the first time he came to church. I don't know if y'all remember. We were having a meeting in Allison. He come to church and he come to church the second night. And the second night I said, Benny, I want to thank you for being here. He said, don't you say that. He said, I ought to thank you. He said, because I feel like I've worshiped and I ain't felt that way in 10 years. We ought to sing with all our hearts. You should invite visitors to Sunday lunch. Why? Because Josh is hungry. It's true. Because my wife needs an opportunity to try new recipes. Also true. And she will do it. Time to have fellowship. It's true. It's all bigger than that, isn't it? We share a meal with our visitors. We get to know them. We build a relationship with them. Ultimately, we have an opportunity to teach them the gospel. Somebody says, boy, I get tired of fixing lunch on Sunday. Well, it's bigger than just you fixing lunch. We're to be servants. That's what this is about. This is about going to heaven, not just lunch. What does it say to a visitor when five different families invite them to lunch? What does that say? That says, I care about you. I care about your family. I want to get to know you. Why should we go visit the sick? God commands us to. We want to keep his commandments. Well, what if I get sick? They might get hungry or lonely or need help. All true. But it's still bigger than that. When you really care about people, you go. It's planting and watering. It's a little pebble, isn't it? But it all adds up to something big. It glorifies God. Let your light so... You know, we was in the hospital the other day. I can't even remember who. One of our members up there in Amarillo for surgery. We took over that waiting room with people. The doctor came in. He's like, holy cow, what's going on here? We had a family reunion going at the hospital. That says something, folks, about the role that we play. We should all resolve differences quickly. We're taught in Matthew 18 how to resolve conflict, aren't we? Delay leads to hurt feelings. Talking to others and not going directly to your brother or sister causes others to take sides. Taking sides leads to division. It's bigger than that. What if visitors hear gossip about problems at our congregation? What will they think of us? Will that help them get to heaven? You know, the truth is there will have some problems. We're people. There'll be some disagreements. There'll be misunderstandings. There'll be harsh words. We need to take care of that. Resolve that with a forgiving heart because it's bigger than just a little deal between you and me. It can affect someone's soul. What will make people believe Christ is in you? I mean, everybody claims to be a Christian. You will tell everyone you know. And I want to tell you, it's bigger than that. You will show everyone you know. Not just with words, but deeds. You will live it in every relationship that you have. And I suppose this can be applied to every area of your life. Why is First Wednesday singing important? or the Sunshine Sisters, or taking communion on a Sunday afternoon to people who need it. All those things are little pebbles on a big beach, aren't they? People can tell when Christ is first in your life by what you do. The book of Matthew chapter 25 verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The little things, they add up. Ultimately, they add up to you going to heaven and me going to heaven and the other people that we come into contact with every day, them people going to heaven. That's what it's about. Psalms 43:3, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." I'm going to ask you to get out your songbooks this morning. You know, life is a series of little things. We look at life as big things coming up or big days or tasks or jobs, but it's little things that we do every day, I think, that will measure our life. Walking with the Lord and having a relationship with Him, it's such that leads us to do things that other people don't do, to live and be a light in a way that other people don't do. I want to tell you how that's going to work for you and me. To help people, we're going to be involved in their life and we're going to sacrifice of our time for them. And by doing that, we're going to change their life. That's how you're a light of the world. That's how we'll do it. And we'll evangelize this community, this county, this area, one person at a time. One person at a time. And those people will want to come here and be a part of this family. Be a part of people who work together to go to heaven. And I want to tell you something. You're the part that adds to that, or you're part who takes away from it. If our attitude is to grumble and gripe about those things, we're going to take away from that. And if our attitude is to sacrifice and serve and help, it's just going to get better and better. So you think about your life today. Maybe there's things you need to change. I don't know, but I do know one thing. We all need to change. And changing's not easy. It's hard. But if we put the Lord first and we let Him lead us, we'll change. Maybe you need to do a radical thing to change. I don't know. But I know we have this opportunity to change. We have an opportunity for help, to go to God for help.